Zero, I was lucky to get a gear. And right at home, perfectly warm, yeah. Well, I went downtown the next day or so, and see a fella kick a door. I think at that time I had got it in my head. I kind of convinced myself I wasn't really saying, but I kind of got to thinking maybe I was a John L. Sullivan or a Sharpie or something. And then when this fella kicked the door, he's a little bitty fella. I don't think he'd weigh over 150 pounds. But I pulled him out anyhow. I just didn't like that. And he argued. He said, what is your business? If my dog doesn't kick a dog whenever I want to. But he just kept arguing, and finally I called him a liar. Well, he didn't seem to resent it. He just turned around with a half a dozen fellas covered there. And he says, fellas, if you want to see the snow wiped up with this big awkward kid, they just come here at 5 o'clock, because he said, that's just what I'm going to do if this kid's got guts enough to come down and see me. He said, he's been too smart anyway. Well, I want to finish there, but he wouldn't. So, 5 o'clock, I showed up. Boy, he must have told me the place now, because there's about 50 fellas around there. Well, I wanted to finish it right now. I'm a little bitty guy, you know, I didn't want to help. But he insisted. Insisted I got my parking and coat off, and I did. Finally, I walked over and slapped at him, but he wasn't there. He was just someplace else, and then he exploded. Boy, all I seen was just this. Once in a while, I'd get a glimpse of a red head, and I'd hit at him, but it wasn't there. Never hit him at all. He just played a death to him in the ribs and face until he just had me all beat up. That's all there was to it. And when I woke up, he was sitting straddle on me and rubbing snow in my face and said to me, well, kid, he said, don't you think you better get home and go home now and tell your mom that you just don't know anything about life?
Dogs and us to be plumb played out, and then we just have to rest.
maybe pull through the brush again, or maybe get on the river, double up our dogs to pull out of the river. Boy, it was a tough one, I'm telling you. But the 11th day, we was camped on the bank of the river. We'd been pulling through the brush all day. We got in late, it was kind of dark. We couldn't see what the river was like. But next morning, the river just looked fine. And we pulled down onto the ice and started out. Well, it was one of those days that only the north can have. Quiet, no wind, not a sound. Just silence personified is all there was to it. Well, all you could hear after we'd got on that ice was our sleds chuck once in a while on the ice. It wasn't slippery. The dogs had good footing, but you could hear, even hear their toenails scratching on the ice, you know. And silent out in there, windy out in front. And pretty soon he bursted in a song. I have never heard such a song from that day till this. He's singing the old folks at home. We always suspicioned that he had had quite a background in his day. We always thought that we knew he was a well-educated man, but he just never told anything about himself. And you just don't ask questions up there. That's all there is to it, especially in that day. But that song, he had just made Bing Crosby sound like a dirty douche to the deck, the way I remember today. It may have been the atmosphere, may have been the cutter, maybe the condition, I don't know, but it was a honey. Well, no use of me ever telling anybody about it, because they wouldn't believe it, not that he done it, because he just didn't talk. Now, if I'm mushed the dog team, my orphan, or anybody, well, you'll get the kid and your dogs, and get on good trails, and tell them what nice dogs they are, and how pretty the tail are, and just kid them along. You know, the first thing you know, you've got them to run. Well, but not windy. He just had a little whistle. Didn't amount to anything. He'd hardly hear itself. But that's about the only command he ever gave his dog, was just that little whistle. Once in a while, you'd hear him say, "Gee," so low that the dog was about the only one that could hear. Well, anyhow, he finished that song. Got through. I just wouldn't want to talk either. Well, we got into Nome all right, and Burr's quite a boom town, and everybody glad to get their mail. I was wondering what I was going to do, and dogs are awful cheap. You know, in the spring of the year there, dogs are cheap because you've got to board them all summer. You either got to go and feed them yourself, or you've got to hire them boarded. Well, it used to cost from $7.50 to $10 a month to board a dog. Somebody had to start up a camp and catch fish and feed your dogs for you. Pretty good game, too. But all this in the fall of the year, where the dogs are cheap, because it's cheaper to buy a new one in the spring, or just cheaper one to bother them all summer. So, Wendy wanted to sell me my 9 dogs. I really didn't want that many. All of them were $10 a piece. I didn't want them, really, but I did buy 5. I bought 5 of the best, and I had 5 dandy little dogs. I just kind of got stuck around there. But I got to munching around Nome, and there was talk there of Jade. I knew a little about Jade, not much. I'd heard about it. I had an uncle that went to China as a missionary one time. He brought back a little piece of raw Jade. Well, I'd always remember Jade. It seemed to me like it was worth $1,000 an ounce. I didn't know much about the price, but I knew it was very valuable stuff. And there was specimens where the Eskimo used to make axes out of jade. I just thought, now, gee, this might be something. So I got me a couple of flecks of tobacco and a couple of pounds of tea and a little sugar, and I went out and hunted me an old Eskimo. Well, I tried to talk to him. You know, you hear about this universal Indian language. Well, I'll tell you this, it just don't work up there, it didn't. Or I didn't know it, I don't know why, but it don't work anyhow. After you learn their language, or their view, and learn yours, then you taught them the sign language, you get along pretty well. But otherwise, it just don't work for me, that's all there is to it, and I thought I knew it pretty good. Well, anyhow, after quite a length of time, I got the old fella to know what I wanted, and where it was. I wonder where it was, or he drawed me a map. And that map was just a pip, that's all there was to it. Every crook in that river, every bend, every place that there was any trees, drew on that map. You just couldn't go wrong. That's all there was to it. I went looking for the chain. Well, I wound up on the Kobuk River, way up. And I knew when I got there, the map told me that it only was to it. The time I got there, why, snow had all gone, and there's still some ice on the river. But I got my sled there, too. I knew where I picked up two or three little pieces of jade before I got there. And boy, I had my minute. There was nothing to it. I made a camp that night and rolled up in my little rabbit robe and thinking, gee, you know, I'm a long ways from a human being. I just wonder how far it is. It must be 500 or 600 miles anyhow. Went to sleep feeling that way. Well, I woke up the next morning and just laying there kind of dreaming. I wasn't awake or wasn't asleep. And my dog was loose, of course. I heard a dog howl. Boy, I was on my feet in just a minute. One of my dogs had strolled away and got lost, no doubt. And when I got to my feet, well, my dog is all there, and he's all looking very much surprised to see me come out from under that rabbit road so quick. I think, gee, now maybe I'd just been dreaming. I couldn't quite figure it out. If there'd have been a dog howl, the dog would have surely been paying some attention to that. I stood around a few minutes feeling foolish, and I guess acting foolish too, the way the dog's looking at me. Pretty soon I heard it again. Just over the hill, wasn't no distance. I would guess it wasn't over 2 or 3 miles. A dog howled again. Well, boy, that was something. The dog must have got lost and got up in there and knew it wasn't a wolf. I knew a wolf howled too well. Anyhow, I got myself some breakfast right quick and told the dog to stay home, and they did, and took my rifle and I started over. Well, I got on top of the ridge and right down below me there was a little tent not a quarter of a mile away. And I went down. Well, of course, he had some dogs too. He had 6. And his dogs were all up on their feet waggling their tails, and they wasn't making any noise, of course, and he was in the tent and smoke coming out of the sheet cooking something. And I walked up and hollered at him. He stuck his head out the door and let a nose out of me. I didn't think there was another man within 1,000 miles of me. What the devil are you doing here? Well, we got to be pretty good friends. He was looking for gold, I was looking for jade. He didn't want nothing to do with jade at all. But boy, there was lots of it there. It is just every place. Just lots of it. I don't know, thousands and tons of it. Well, I knew jade was jade, and I didn't know how much it was worth. I didn't know a lot about it. But anyhow, I figured that as my fortune. He went on, kept on looking for gold, and me looking for jade, and we kind of got interested together. So finally I got my ready to go back home and back to Nome. I built me a canvas boat. I tore all over my sled to pieces because I couldn't get down. And used all the long pieces for frames in the boat. Gathered up some willows for my bows. I had a dandy boat made. Put my canvas on it. I'd got a bear, and I used the grease to put on the bottom of the canvas, which made it not leak at all. It's just a honey. And I was a pretty good river man, or I thought I was. I thought white water wouldn't amount to much to me. I just had it licked anyhow. But I...